Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Easy Tarot Lessons. I am your host, Dusty White, author of a whole bunch of stuff. Blah, 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 blah. If you've been following, you know. We got a whole big house today full of students, and this is going to be happy, good times. Paul is here, Sarah is here, Cindy is here, and Kathy is here. And so we're going to try to cram in as much tarot goodness as we can today. Take notes. And if you want to get in on a free lesson where I will answer your questions and help you personally, you have to be signed up to our Tarot Lessons newsletter, which is free and there's no gimmicks. And you can unsubscribe at any time, all that kind of stuff. Just go to EasyTarotLessons.com or AdvancedTarotSecrets.com, and it's right there to sign up. All right, so let's get to it. Paul, you wrote in some questions, and I like it because Paul always writes in his questions. So, correct me if I'm wrong, but here's what I've got. Can most questions be divided under generic headings? No. Okay. What are the typical questions you encounter the most? That's a great question. You got to understand, mine might be a bit skewed because I've read for tens of thousands of people, which means I had to read for those phone lines, internet things, because that's the only way you build up that many clients, because you're doing, 10, 20, 30 a day sometimes. It was a long, long day. So, or long, long days. And some clients, sometimes you take nice, long clients, you have take all the time in the world, and other times, you might have 15 minutes, if you're lucky. And also reading psychic fairs, reading at parties, you'll build a whole bunch of clients that way. This is good because you have to be accurate and you have to be quick. And while I've retired now to a private practice where I can take all the time I want and charge ridiculous amounts of money, I've worked at the McDonald's. I call it the McDonald's of psychic jobs, where they just churn and burn you. You're psychic. As long as you're talented, great. That's all the boss cares about. They don't care anything else about you. Just as long as you make them money and keep the clients happy. So under those circumstances, and I'm just letting you know, I'm not complaining. I'm saying if you do the phone or the internet thing, you will probably encounter this. And I'm hoping you won't, because I've shown you guys easier ways to make more money and have more fun, but you can always ask me if you're ready to go pro and you don't know. So, in direct answer to your question, what I would get is I'd get single moms calling me asking about potential boyfriends or potential husbands for their several children. But see, that skews the demographic, because that's what a good number, if not most, of the phone and internet companies have been advertising to. It's horribly skewed towards single moms in economic for financial or relationship trouble. Therefore, yes, you will get those kind of questions. But even drawing off of my private clientele, you'd be surprised at how universal some of the questions are. You will get multimillionaires asking you about relationships. Specifically, they're trying to attract someone that their money won't buy. So that's interesting. I won't go into too much more detail because, you never break a client's confidence. You never reveal names. Never reveal details. You talk about everything in very vague, general terms where no one could be identified in time, distance, space, whatever. It's, oh, it was Bob Smith in Hollywood. I know that guy. And that was around Christmas, 1984. So answer to your question, what are the typical questions you encounter most? Relationship is, it never goes out of style. It's like Christmas. It always comes around. And the funny thing is that even if somebody comes to you with a financial question, they want to know about their business, they want to know about a job prospect, they want to know how their year is going to go, even if it doesn't come up first, relationships or romance or sex, you know, blatantly, will come up as the second or third question. So even in non-relationship readings, relationships will come up. Just wait for it. You know, have a little bell on your desk. And, you know, you may have to wait ding, there it is. You know, you may have to wait 5-10 minutes and there it comes in. So it's kind of interesting. This is why I like blending astrology, because astrology is just made for relationships. You really understand the people involved, and it allows you to enhance your tarot readings. Finances are a big thing. When we did, I say we, because this is experience across several companies that I worked for, and not just me, but hundreds of the psychics I used to work with, usually in the same office. We would get so many calls for lottery numbers, and it just whores you off. It just makes you feel cheap and disgusting. I have done, well, of course, you know, if I sit here and tell you about all my exploits, it's going to get boring. So, yeah, the most common questions are always money, love, sex. All right, anyway, I think I ran that into the ground. Paul said, can you explain how you develop a typical client's question into a specific question? Yes, they come, they ask me a question, and then I talk to them. I will find out what it is they want to know. If they say, will I get married next week? Well, that's a pretty straightforward question. If they say, how can I go about getting this person to like me? Or will I get this particular job? Or tell me what's going to happen over the next couple months, next year. That's another one. You know, how's the next 6 months going to go? If I don't find the question specific enough, I just talk to them. And I advise you to as well. Paul, does that help, or did you have something more specific when you were asking about that?
Yeah, that's very helpful. I had it in my mind what kind of process you might go through in order to get a better understanding of the clients, what they really want.
Ultimately, it's best just to treat your readings as a conversation over coffee with a close friend. It makes you relaxed. It helps them relax. And you really want a relaxed client. If your client is jittery or antagonistic, it gets on your nerves. It starts to wear you down. And to be at your best when you're reading, because tarot is an intuitive art. Are there rules? Yes. Are there systems in place? To some extent, yes. You know, there's spreads. Spreads are organizational charts. You can't just, you know, throw it on the cards in a spread format and then change what the card positions mean willy-nilly, you know, right in the middle of a reading. So there's some form of regimen, but ultimately it is an intuitive art. So that means you got to be relaxed. The more uptight you are, the harder it is for you to give really accurate and good information. So therefore, you want your client relaxed. And the more you can treat it as a conversation, the more they'll open up to you. Now, we don't need the client's life story, and we never do the whole stage magician thing where we just feed back information to them that they've given to us. But we do want to get a baseline of questions. If someone says to me, will I make any money this year? Well, I could say, yeah, probably. Who needs to be a psychic to say that? And I'm either, you know, right or wrong, but more than likely I'm right, because if you don't make any money this year, for most people, that's pretty much the end of the line. So I wouldn't answer that question. What I would do is I would ask them to specify a bit. I'd start shuffling the cards and I'd say, okay, well, let's find out. And then I would say, and I do this in a conversational style, and it's never to trick anyone. It's, but you have to make them relaxed, because they really want to know something. I mean, discarding the 1 to 5%, and 5% is a lot. Discarding, let's say, the 1 to 2% of people who are just jerks, they're there to annoy you or trick you or try to trip you up. People really want to know an answer to their question, and they aren't trained how to come in and read. I mean, how to come in and ask. They walk in and they expect you to know stuff. Or they're nervous. Or, you know, they've watched a whole bunch of movies and they've seen, you know, how psychics are in the movies, or they've seen these horrible late night commercials like, oh, Madam So and So knows everything. All you have to do is call and give me $10 a minute, and I will tell you. Wow. So our poor clients are, you know, abused by the media and bad advertising. So we do have to take that extra step. We got to go that extra mile and just talk to them. Just talk to them. And if you're confused, ask them directly. What I do is I disclaim it. I say, this is how I work. This is how I operate. This is how I go about getting answers. And that's my, you know, four planets in Capricorn jumping out saying, this is how I operate. You might be a little bit more poetic. You might be a little bit less uptight and rigid about it. But let them know that you have a certain style of reading and that you need a little information. And most people get it. They'll go, oh, okay, what do you want to know? I'm saying, okay, well, if you want to know if you're going to make any money, let's be a little bit more specific. Are you, and you just give them some examples. So, for example, are we talking about passive income? Are you investing and you're worried about your investments paying off? Or is this about getting a job? Or are you, you know, getting money from the government? Or maybe some parents? Or you think you're waiting on a will? So getting people to help you understand what it is they're really asking is a matter of admitting to them that you're not the mystic Zolar who can just see inside their brain and figure out what they're saying. It's reading someone is no different than going on a first date. On a first date, it's really hard to figure out what the other person is really saying until you get a feel of who they are. Does that make sense, Paul?
Yeah, that's really helpful. Thanks, Dusty. You nailed it.
So treat them like a first date, you know. What is it? Get them drunk, give them a peck on the cheek, and, you know, kick them out as while you're driving down the street. But only, you know, 5 miles an hour because you don't want to. All right. Kathy, you had an interesting question. What was it again?
What is the difference between a three-card blob and a three-card spread?
Oh, right. I probably threw that, bandy that term about, and a lot of people probably won't know. I've coined the term blob too. Well, it's kind of hard to have a two-card blob, but you could have a two-card blob. But a two-card blob, or more specifically a three-card blob, is an unformatted spread. The simplest way to explain it is to say that you come to me with a question, and then I listen to your question and go, oh, okay, I'm going to throw three cards. Or I don't say I'm going to throw three cards. I just do throw three cards. So I shuffle, ding. There's my little ding that says the cards are all in order, at least the top three cards. Or I'll cut it and go, this card. So I've brought out three cards, and it's just an amorphous blob. Those three cards don't mean anything. Those three cards are just random strangers answering a question that I have. They might work together. They might blend with each other. They might individually each answer a part of the question. What I would normally call a three-card spread or a three-card fixed position spread is like a past, present, future spread. I know going into it before, you've asked me your question, and I'm like, to best answer this question, I'm going to choose this spread. By the way, That's a huge, huge secret of the pros. And it's really, really simple, by the way. When your client asks you a question, as you're listening to them, think of what spread among your repertoire that you feel most confident in using to answer their question. Do you need a big blown out Celtic cross with expansion cards and clarification cards and follow-up questions? You know what? If you do, do it. You need a roundabout and get like really hardcore 1 hour into it and you know, give them every detail known to mankind, do it. But if it's a little light question, like, wow, I could blow this out with three cards or one card or this or that or, you know, choice spread or past, present, future, anything like that, do this while you're shuffling. Do this while you're listening to them. You can always change your mind, but don't change your mind at the last moment. Don't go shuffle. Oh, the cards are in order. I'm going to deal out a, oh, no, I'll just deal out a different spread. You really, part of the whole process of shuffling the question into the cards is knowing what spread you're going to use to answer the question. That's a must if you actually want to get results. If you want to get answers that are right instead of just goofing off, you got to know the spread that you're going to be using before you decide to deal out the cards. And part of that is what I call a blob spread, is any number of cards where you haven't predetermined what each card position will mean, such as a three-card spread. Well, the first card will mean, and the second card will mean, and the third card will mean. Well, past, present, future generally is the first card is the past, the second card is the present, third card is the future. As simple as that sounds, we're not amateurs here, and we're not giving people just generalized information. You know, we leave that to the jokers that don't know any better, that haven't been trained, that refuse to get free training, because there's no excuse not to get at least free training. We do it right, we get the best answers, and our clients tip us ridiculously well. 50%, 100%, 200%, that's when you know you're doing a good job. So a blob spread is any spread that you haven't ascertained what the card positions will mean. A Celtic cross spread is a fixed position spread. Just the fact that you're going to cast it, you know that card positions 1 and 2 are going to mean this, 3, 4, yes, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and then 10 is the outcome, generally speaking. It would happen either after. Does that make sense, Kathy?
Yes, it does.
Okay. So we got a couple of new people here. Oh, actually, Cindy's not new. Cindy's one of my private clients. Cindy, did you have any questions today, or are you just here to hang out? Which is fine.
I'm here to hang out and listen.
Yay. Well, if you come up with anything, just raise your hand because, you know, I can't see you. Raise your hand because it's like audio. Hi, Sarah.
Hello.
Okay. Well, Sarah's brand new here. Sarah has taken me up on my offer to give her a free lesson. Sarah, I got Paul and Kathy here. You see how easy the process is. Very friendly. I don't yell too loudly. And I can't bite because, well, you know, distance being what it is. So do you have any tarot questions?
Yes, actually, I do have one question that was bothering me. I'm still fairly new, so I am trying to kind of just nail down my opinions and, you know, impressions of the cards. And so with the cards in the Wands suit, the Suit of Wands, I'm having some issues with the Seven of Wands and the Nine of Wands.
Mm-hmm.
When I look at the Nine of Wands, I know that the Seven is sort of like, you know, fighting forces from higher ground. With the Nine, though, when I look at the Nine of Wands, I kind of see the guy standing holding his wand. It's almost as if he's trying to protect that wand he's holding from people who are brandishing wands from behind a wall. And so it's kind of messing up my impression of the two.
Okay, try this. Let me give you a real-life scenario.
Okay.
Where you would see the Nine of Wands come up. Kathy invites you to a party, because we're all having a party, and it's going to be at Kathy's house. Kathy, sorry, but it's a surprise party. as in it's a surprise to you, but we're all coming to your house. Sarah, the only reason why you're invited is because we need somebody to hold the coats.
I see.
In those black and white movies when all the people walk in and the guy gets it loaded up and says, oh, here, you're holding my coat. Coat. Good. Next thing you know, it's just a big pile of coats and you can't see the person anymore. imagine, now, can you picture the Three of Cups, the three girls that are dancing?
Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So imagine that the Three of Cups or the Four of Wands is Kathy's party. Everybody's dancing and listening to the B-52s or Macklemore or, you know, Frank Sinatra. I mean, just whatever, you know, somebody really old, Beethoven. but everybody's having a good time dancing. Well, you are outside valeting cars. You're outside going, I've got security. I got guard duty. Well, everybody else is, I mean, because you look at the guy and he's just not happy.
Yeah, see, that was the issue I had was he kind of looks a little, you know, his eyes, he's got a sidelong glance going on, right?
Yeah, because he's thinking about those girls going, I should be at the party. My dad makes me work, you know. So in this case, I like to look at that guy, and I'm not saying this is the only meaning of the card, but just to help you with one of the possible meanings, but really to separate the seven from the nine. This guy is not physically engaged in battle at the moment. Naturally, the bandage makes us think that he's kind of, you know, been around the block a few times.
Mm-hmm.
But at this point, he looks like he's kind of being defensive or paranoid or he's got guard duty. So he could be bored. He could be being defensive because he has like eight sticks. And so he's with his ninth stick. It's like, somebody's going to try to steal my sticks.
Yeah, almost. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. I was just going to say, just as you were mentioning that, it's almost as if now when I see him looking at the wands, it's almost like he's looking at them with a bit of resentment. Like, this is my job, you know, I got to do this.
Hey, oh, absolutely. Or it could be somebody, one of those sticks behind him got up and smacked him upside the head. And that's why he got the bandage, and he's like, you're not going to get me again. You know? Or they get paranoid. You're not going to fool me again. Now, I'd like to say that, and this brings up something we don't get to talk about in the podcast. In the tarot, it comes down to we have three classes of individuals, being cards being individuals. We have the 1 through 10s, so the numbers are... We have the court cards, you know, the royal aristocracy, the Hiltons and the Kardashians and the Lindsay Lohans of the world, you know. And then we have the overlords, you know, the uber cards, you know, like a pantheon of gods, you know, Greco-Roman style. That would be the Trumps, you know. So this is all because the tarot was created as a game in around 1438, give or take a couple of years, or not, I mean, maybe right there. But it was created in northern Italy at that time in a feudalistic society, like literally at the birth of the Renaissance. It was still probably technically the Middle Ages, especially when you look at the oldest known deck. It's very flat. The art style is very flat. So... and it was a Catholic country, but I mean, Italy, you know, Rome, as in like, you know, the Roman gods. So it was an interesting mix of polytheism and monotheism and like a polytheistic tradition that just wouldn't die in a monotheistic empire. So that's kind of what we have with the tarot is a whole lot of Jesus going on. You know, angels everywhere and devils and emperors and popes. But then the whole feel of the Trump suit is very polytheistic. You know, a god for every occasion, or if you would like, a saint for every occasion. And I'm getting sidetracked. But the whole point of this is that, okay, so get past that and I'll get back to my point. My point is that in at least the Western cultures, I believe it's called our Dewey Decimal System, and if I've missed, that's a misnomer, if I've mislabeled that, I apologize. But we have two distinct ways of counting our digits. We have 0 through 9, 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 9, and then we start at 10, which is 0 but one platform up. You know, and it's still 0 through 9, 0 through 9, 0 through 9. Or we go 1 through 10, where 1 through 10, and then 11 is the next platform. So we go 0 through 9 or 1 through 10. These are just the ways that we will classify our base set of integers. Ooh, look at me with my big fancy words. So that means the ones, also known as the aces, among other things, well, those are cards representing the beginning of something. Like the one is the first you have one, then you have two. So it's either the smallest or the very first thing that you encounter. Does that make sense, Sarah?
Yes. Yes, it does.
And if we look at each suit as a journey, and I'm not saying each card in the suit has to follow a journey, because it really doesn't work out that way, unfortunately. And it's nothing against numerology. It's just when they put the tarot together, they were really putting that together. It was kind of a game. And they're like, okay, and just kind of evolved over time. But it does work with the suit of wands, which is interesting. But in all of the suits, at least with Pamela Coleman Smith's artwork, the nines and the tens are ending cards. Remember, our 0 through 9, mm-hmm. ending card, or 1 through 10. So I like to say, for simplicity, that nines are the penultimate ending and tens are the ultimate ending of their suit. So we're discounting the royal layabouts that, you know, Prince so-and-so gets to sit around and eat grapes all day. Oh, ooh, whatever. Okay. Piss off. So if we look at it like we are, the ace is the beginning of our journey. We're jumping on the train and we're going to our destination. If we get off at the ninth station, it's kind of like we're looking down the road going, oh crap, I don't need to go all the way there. I've got everything I want. You know, you're jumping off the last station before the end of the line. And the 10 is, I'm going to ride that thing all the way to the end. And a good example of this is the Nine of Wands. Now, the wands are very aggressive. They're not as hyper-aggressive, dangerous, and violent as the swords are in Pamela's art. But they're very active and engaged and engaging. There's a lot of violence, a lot of competitiveness going on in the Suit of Wands. Right, Sarah?
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Very, like, very X Games, very extreme athletes, yeah. You know?
Yeah, definitely, I get that impression.
So I like to think of the Nine of Wands as like the, well, I have to go back to the, what we call in America the Old West, which you people in Europe would call, like, 200 years ago, yeah. It's like a brief speck in time. But the Old West in America is famous because there's been movies about it forever. Cowboys, everybody's got a gun on their side and you know, got the gunslinger. And it's all about who can draw faster, draw. And you know, you're supposed to pull your gun out and shoot somebody just because they want to see if they can pull their gun out of their holster and shoot you faster. It's an entirely idiotic concept, but it sells lots of movie tickets and lots of popcorn. So let's say that the Nine of Wands means you are the fastest gunslinger in the West. See, all of those wands, those are all your trophies. Those are all your Super Bowl rings. You know, you are at the top of your game. But the problem with being the fastest gunslinger in the West, or if you're Tiger Woods and you've beaten every golf course and golfer known to mankind, you pick up your club, bam, 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 I beat you, golf course, and you're like, yes, okay, here, have your jacket. Guy's unstoppable. Problem with being Tiger Woods or being the fastest gunslinger in the world, there's always some punk going, arf, arf, arf. Yeah, like Kathy's dog did. There's always some punk coming along saying, I could beat Tiger Woods. I'll be a millionaire. And I could walk around going, I beat Tiger Woods. And if there's some gunslinger that can shoot you in the back, some young punk, then he can say, well, I beat the fastest gunslinger in the West. So the Nine of Wands is you're at the top of the game. You've gone through the 1, 2, 3, 4, 7, 8, you know, all that stuff. And you're like, man, this is the kind of thing where they say heavy is the head that wears the crown. This guy's got a lot of trophies, but notice how he always has to look over his back because there's somebody gunning for him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's becoming more clear the more you talk about it. Even have an analogy formed in my head.
Yay. Now, the Ten of Wands, let's say, oh, no. Son, you haven't won until you beat everybody, until you've, you know, hunted down their firstborn and said, you know, what is it, Kronos, you know, what, one of my children will rise up and defeat me? I will just eat them all, you know. That's the 10. The 10 is like, I have beaten everybody. But I look at the 10, and this might not translate to an international audience, but in America we have the National Football League, what we call football, as Eddie Izzard said, you call bananas. Of course, the other way. The thing is that American football, and even Canadian football, if I understand right, is all about nonstop collisions. You know, it's two teams getting together and just beating the hell out of each other. Or if you prefer boxing. By age 40, a professional boxer or football player, on average, will be beat to death. They're just crapped out. It's like they're 50 or 60 years old. Their bones hurt. Their muscles hurt. Their brain might be a little addled. Because every week, or in the case of a fighter, you know, every bout, their whole job is to stand there and people are throwing punches at them or pounding them or throwing them to the ground. So that's what I look at with the Ten of Wands. He's got all those. Imagine he's not holding wands. He's got 10 Super Bowl rings. I got 10 Super Bowl rings. I'm the champion. Or Muhammad Ali. You know, I'm the best it's ever been. The poor guy has been punched so many times that it's very difficult for him to hold an intelligible conversation. But he's a nice guy, you know, and he's, you know, sports legend. But the body can only take so much damage. So the Ten of Wands is almost a moralistic, excuse me one second, it's almost a moralistic tale from Pamela Coleman Smith that you win, but at what cost? Does that make sense?
Oh, completely, yes.
Okay, these aren't the only meanings, but, you know, hopefully it's a fun way that everybody can go, oh, and then by looking at it this way, hopefully you can combine this with other ways you see the card, and you realize that there's a whole bunch of ways to see the card without really ever leaving the meaning of the image itself. For example, he could just have a whole bunch of things to, it's like, boy, I got all this stuff that I got to take to market. Or, man, I had to do all, ten of wands, right? I had to do all the work myself today because nobody showed up. Hey, this is a fun one. Okay, I'll get one more and then I'll let you guys play. Ten of Wands, here's another one. This is an example of a day laborer versus like the King of Swords. It's like, I am white collar. I sit behind a desk. And excuse me, what do you do for a living? And the Ten of Wands is like, I'm a day laborer. I carry stuff around. Okay, Kathy, I'm going to put you on the spot. Ten of Wands. What's one possible meaning? Serious, silly, what does the picture say to you? Just surprise me.
I would say I'm just fed up waiting for her.
No, I want the Ten of Wands. The guy carrying on the stick. That's okay, but I like the nine. So okay, so Ten of Wands. See how Sarah.
I've got a lot of burdens from my job today, and I don't know how to handle it.
Oh yeah. Man, my boss gave me so much to do. Oh, Johnson, do this. Hey, and then do this, and then do this. Thanks, boss. Okay, Paul, your turn. Ten of Wands. What do you think?
Well, you wanted it. Don't complain.
Oh, what is it they say? A thing of beauty is a burden forever. Cindy, you want to play along?
Yeah, you know, the funny thing is, with the Ten of Wands, you know, everybody always says that it's just too much work, mm-hmm. right? I always seen it as someone who, it's kind of like to reflect off of what Paul says. I mean, this is kind of what you asked for. Like, this guy could have done it in two trips.
Well, yeah, you know, see, there's some hidden wisdom there. See, Sarah, part of the whole way the tarot works is we're not just looking at something as fatalistic. We could, like Cindy is very smart in that she could look at it and tell her client, wait, see how this guy is overburdened? Do it in two trips. So she has pulled meaning from the card and then dispensed valuable wisdom to help her client rather than just saying, here's what the card means. Do you see that, Sarah?
Yeah, it's a good insight. It reminds me of trying to take all the groceries out of the car at once.
To get to the house. Especially with plastic bags, because you can wrap them around your finger, and you couldn't do that with the paper bags. Yeah, that's a horrible thing. I used to, not so much now, but now. But I used to be really bad, where I'd try to take like five loads of bags at once, and I can barely move because I'm surrounded by plastic. I can do it. It was some, I think it's a guy thing. It's just such a, there's such a challenge to, can I make it in one trip? And there really is no value. You just go twice, go three times, you know, enjoy the breeze. I love this. This is really good. I like this. We have a few more minutes. Okay. Sarah, do you have any other questions? Because I'll be more than happy to answer them in the time we have allotted.
I don't actually have anything else to ask at the moment, but yeah. I will get back to you on that.
You're always welcome to come back. Cindy, anything real quick today?
No, not right now.
Okay. Paul?
I'm good, thanks.
And Cassie's dog seems to have a whole lot to say. Okay, so let's get a few minutes.
I have a question. Okay.
Yeah, jump out.
I'm just thinking in a timing spread.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you over the dog. What was that?
In a timing spread?
Timing spread, yes.
How do you know whether to tell the client their answer will be in months or years? I just can't figure that out.
Well, you have to. Okay. Unfortunately, in the tarot, there's not a specific formula laid out or built into the system to imply time. We can add elements and say, spring, summer, winter, fall, based on the elements. In my new deck, not to be an advertisement, but this is one of the things that's always bothered me about the tarot. No, there's no weather. It's hard to tell whether it's day or night, and there's no time, and there's not really children, except for, you know, the sun and six of cups and the ten of cups, and then pages might be children, but they might be messages. It's a big mess. So in the new deck that I've been working on for the last 20 years, 2 decades, Jesus Christ, I really got to get it out. That will not be a problem anymore. Timing will be built into it. Okay, so in the meantime, we have to specify. I want you, at least for now, whenever you're doing timing, if someone wants to know a question and it involves time, really, really get to them and specify and say, okay, what are you looking for? If they're looking for how many years is something going to take, you are going to have to be at the top of your game. And you're going to have a very simple but effective timing spread or timing mechanism. We can talk about that in one of our private lessons, because it just takes a long time to figure out. However, just generally speaking, whatever spread timing spread you use, for everybody. Choose, don't try to handle everything at once. Don't go, okay, it could be days or it could be months or it could be years. Specify a time frame, you know, that you are going after, and what each card or what each card position will answer? And are you going to read this month and then this month and then this month? Or are you going to go, you know, 1 through 7 and find out? But don't leave it open-ended and don't be vague. I've got to do a rune class here in a couple of minutes, but I want to see if I can have a little bit more fun. So let's see. I want to try something from Advanced Tarot Secrets. And Sarah, this is going to be brand new to you. So
my brain is a sponge, Dusty.
Great. I want to play a quick little game. I want to say, who am I? But that might be a little much. Cindy, Paul, Kathy, do you guys have your cards taped up or memorized? Paul, taped up, exercise 11.
Sorry, I haven't got them taped up. I can drag things from the distant memory.
Okay. Cindy, cards taped up?
Yeah, I got them pasted on a paper.
Okay, that helps. And Kathy?
Yeah, I got them taped up.
Okay, let's try a little who am I, and if not, we're going to do 20 questions of the tarot. This could bomb horribly, but what the hell? You know, it'd be fun. And again, this is why I like private lessons, because we can do this kind of stuff. Okay, so Sarah, feel free to jump in. What I'm going to do is, and I think that I am so good at this game. Again, here's my pompous, arrogant self. I think I'm so good at this game that even if you don't know how to play, you can play. My job is I'm holding a card, and I'm going to speak as if I'm that card. It's like an old TV show used to be like this. You know, I tell you things about myself, and you'd say, you're so-and-so. But 20 questions is just different game. So, here we go. So I'm speaking as the person in the card or the card itself, because not all cards have people, or sometimes the people in the cards are not the center of the card. Okay, so beginning, and then feel free to just shout out what card you think I am. I am the disruption of all things. That's the first clue. Anybody?
The Tower.
Damn it! Okay, that was, obviously I'm too good at this. You better be sitting outside thinking, well, okay, no one's going to get this one. Okay, here it comes. Thinking. Wait, let me do Hedley Lamarr from Blazing Saddles. Plan. I need a plan.
To one?
Damn it. See, I told you I was good. Very good, that's it. Okay.
What was that? I didn't hear that.
Two of Wands. Because the guy's up on the top of his house and he's like thinking and planning and planning and thinking. Okay. I apologize in advance for this one. In my defense, I was kind of raised in like the valley. I mean, like the actual valley with the Galleria. Like, oh my God. So like my dad totally grounded me and I'm not going anywhere and I can't talk to anybody and I can't hang out on the phone.
Four of Cups.
Nine of Coins.
Wait, okay. Not the Four of Cups. What was the other one?
Nine of Coins.
No, she's not grounded and having. God, I feel like I'm just.
What, Eight of Wands.
I feel like I can't move.
Eight of Swords.
Yes. Yay, because, see, I want you to be able to see how the Eight of Swords could be being grounded or feeling like you're being put upon. Okay. Since you guys are so good, I'm going to give you a hard one. I will tell you in advance, this is a major arcana. Just... And it probably blew it, but okay. Man, if I could just kick my addiction to crack.
The devil?
I should probably. That's a good one. I should have told you it's reversed, so that wouldn't be the devil reversed. So it's a major card and it's reversed.
Temperance?
Close. Very close. Both of those are good guesses. Sometimes I feel I got a monkey on my back. Like every day is a struggle. I just feel so emotionally weak.
the world?
Strength.
Yeah, strength reversed. Okay, you guys rock. Okay, lottery win. Anybody? I'm a winning lottery ticket. You all know this one. Just I don't know.
The six of coins.
No, it's the ace of wands. I mean, it's the ace of wands. Okay. God, I almost started singing "We Are the World." Ew. Of course, because you know. Okay, decision. I got one more. Pick one. Congratulations, you're pregnant.
Oh, I got it. The Empress.
Ding, 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 ding. Yeah. Okay, so that's how you play Who Am I? One person comes up with goofy statements, such as I did, and the other people just have fun shouting out. And the rule, if anybody's listening, I'll pitch 1,000 of you. Be nice players. Don't just shout out the devil, six of wands, four of wands, two of wands, eight of wands. Don't try to guess every card in the deck. Just stop, think. Don't worry that somebody else is going to get it ahead of you. It's better to guess right than it is to guess five times. It makes you look better. Kathy, Ball, Scott, Cindy, Kara, I had a great time. Thank you very much. I'd ask you if you guys had any last-minute questions, but we already went over that. For the rest of you guys, thank you for listening. We will be back in a couple of days, and y'all are welcome to join us. And I think that's it. I'm going to go off and do my rune class.
Thanks, Dusty.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.